Good morning and welcome to WSAU Feedback. I'm Megha Ellefson. Thank you for joining me this morning. My guest is President of Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, Chief Counsel Rick Essenberg. Good morning, Rick. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Meg. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. So when I just shared with you off air, when I saw this, I receive all your emails, and for our listeners that are interested in getting information and updates on Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, you can go to will-law.org and sign up to get the email releases that come out from your organization. I saw this last week, the review of the 2020 election, and, you know, of course, I have my opinions about what happened during the course of, that evening, that fateful evening when President Trump did not, when the vote flipped, I guess, in the 3 or 4 a.m. hour after the election. But I know that you've conducted, your organization has conducted an investigation on the election of 2020 here in Wisconsin. And, you know, alongside, I know there are a number of concurrent investigations going on, but let's talk a little bit about what you found. And, let's start by saying what your objective was, which, you know, I think is probably self-explanatory, but let's start with that and then talk about what you found in your investigation.
Well, we wanted to do a thorough look at the 2020 election with no preconceived notion as to what the outcome would be. And so we spent probably about 7 or 8 months, really the better part of this year, working on this report. There were 5 or 6 people in our organization who worked at it. Some of them were lawyers. One of them is a PhD political scientist. We engaged some survey companies. And we looked at a lot of issues arising out of the 2020 election, both accusations that had been made about potential fraud in the election, and also our own set of assessments that we thought needed to be undertaken to know what really happened. And we put out the report last week. And I have to say, Meg, there's been kind of a choose-your-own-adventure pattern to the media responses to this, because if you look at left of center or mainstream media responses, they emphasize one of the conclusions that only one of them, but that conclusion was if you looked at the Washington Post or you watch all those things, MSNBC, they would say, look, conservative group in Wisconsin looks at election, it does not find evidence that more votes were cast for Donald Trump than Joe Biden. And that's absolutely true. We did look at that. And you mentioned a little bit about the shift in the middle of the night, and I can explain to you why that happened. In fact, I can explain why I knew at 1 o'clock on election, in the morning that evening, that exact thing was going to happen. It was utterly predictable and doesn't involve any type of fraud or wrongdoing. But that was one finding that we had. But there was another finding. And that finding was that the election was not run in a secure manner required by law. There were significant departures from what the law required, particularly with respect to absentee voting. There was the acceptance of private funds that were dispersed on a disproportionate basis, and which we think had some effect on Democratic and Republican turnout. And so although we can't say that more people voted for Donald Trump than Joe Biden, we can say that it is likely that a number of votes were cast unlawfully. That is, were cast. They may have been cast by eligible voters, but they were cast in a way that the law does not provide. And I can talk a little bit about what those things are, that exceeded the margin between Donald Trump and Joe Biden. And so, what we did in response to this is we suggested a number of reforms. I mean, some of, I think, what has to happen next time around is that, clerks need to, follow the law. We have to not have pandemic exceptions. to what the law requires. And that we also listed a number of reforms that could be adopted to make our election more secure. And, of course, the more conservative outlets emphasize the second conclusion that we draw. Both conclusions are correct, we believe. You know, they reflect really our best assessment of what happened. But I think both need to be taken into account because, you know, we have this debate about the election. You know, it's either, you know, the big steal or the big lie, right? You know, people on, you know, in the Trump camp talk about the big steal. People in the Biden camp call that a big lie. And really, the truth lies somewhere in between those two.
Well, okay, so I know that people are screaming at their radios perhaps right now going, but what about, okay, so let's talk about the voting machines and what you found with any problems with the voting machines, because that was one of the criticisms or one of the concerns with regard to the 2020 election is that something nefarious happened with regard to the voting machines.
Right. Well, so there are two issues. One has to do with this sort of shift in who was leading the election sort of in the middle of the night. And if you go back to the 2020 election before the vote was even held, there was a lot of discussion about what was called the blue shift or the red mirage. And people were anticipating that something like this would happen because Donald Trump, and I think, incidentally, I think this was a strategic blunder by Donald Trump that may have cost him the election, went around telling people that they shouldn't vote absentee. I don't know why you do that. I don't know why you tell your voters that there is a way they could vote for you that they shouldn't do. But he did. And so as a result, there was a huge difference between the likelihood that Democratic and Republican voters would vote absentee. But absentee ballots are counted in a different way in many places in Wisconsin. They are counted in Milwaukee, for example, at a central count facility. And so the absentee totals come in later. We saw that happen in 2018. And so, you know, I turned to my wife at 1 o'clock on election morning, and I said, this election is basically a tie because you can see that Donald Trump has a lead, but you can also look at how many people voted in Milwaukee in 2016 and 2018, and you know those votes aren't counted yet. There aren't enough votes that have been counted from Milwaukee. You know those votes are going to come in. Those votes are going to be overwhelmingly for Trump because Milwaukee is a very blue area. And basically, when you get to the end of the day, that the election is going to basically be even and somebody is going to be a little bit ahead and somebody is going to be a little bit behind. And that's exactly what happened. Trump barely won in 2016 and he barely lost in 2020. So that's one thing. The second allegation was made about Dominion voting software, that there was apparently some problem with Dominion voting software. Now, Dominion voting software isn't used a lot in the state of Wisconsin, but it is used in some communities. And so what we did is we ran, I'm going to say, a simple mathematical test. It's not simple. I couldn't do it, but because I never got through calculus. But, our researcher ran a mathematical test, and he found that Trump actually increased his margin more in places, or increased his vote total more in places where Dominion software was used than he did where it wasn't used. And this kind of undercuts the notion that there was a problem with Dominion software. And so, you know, again, I would say, and, you know, listeners may be screaming at the radio, and I'm sorry if they are, but, you know, you got to distinguish between what is true and what isn't. And I don't think it helps. I actually think it hurts the cause of election integrity to make arguments that can't be supported. Because people then look at that, they see that those arguments are easily refuted, and then they come to the conclusion that there's nothing to see here, that this is just a big lie, and that there were no serious problems in the 2020 election. But that's not what we found. We found that there were serious problems in the 2020 election. Now, we can't say that, and that we can't find any evidence that those problems had enough of an impact to shift the difference. But they were serious problems. You had 269,000 people who claimed that they were indefinitely confined, and 54,000 of them have never shown a photo ID to vote. Yet Wisconsin law requires you to show a photo ID. Does that mean that those were fraudulent votes? No, it doesn't mean they were fraudulent votes, but it means that there was more opportunity for a fraudulent vote than state law permits. It's a serious problem. It's not nothing to see here. There were drop boxes used throughout the state. Now, is there any the fact that they're drop boxes, does that mean that the people who put their vote in the drop boxes were all engaged in fraud? No, it doesn't mean that. But if we're going to have drop boxes, and there's nothing in the law that provides for drop boxes, then what we would probably want to do is have a set of rules for how drop boxes can be made secure. Maybe they should be monitored by video. Maybe when people come and pick up the votes, they should count the number of ballots that they take out of the box so that we have, you know, some indication or some control of, how the voting process is proceeding. But because the law doesn't provide for drop boxes, none of that stuff happened. I mean, it may have happened in some places. There may have been some municipalities that did video monitoring. There may have been some municipalities that staffed the drop boxes. But then there were others that didn't, because there was no consistent requirements imposed, because the law doesn't provide for drop boxes. And so you don't have the kind of rules that you would expect to have if the law provided for it. All of these are serious problems. They're not nothing to see here. But they also don't amount to, conclusion that the election was stolen. The way that we put it is that the election was conducted in a way that that the process could have been vulnerable. Now, we don't know that it was vulnerable. We don't know that there actually was, fraud in the sense of ineligible voters voting or phantom voters voting in an amount that would have changed the results. But we know that the election shouldn't be run that way, and we need to do better next time around.
So I'm speaking with Chief Legal Counsel from Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, Rick Essenberg. Rick, I'm going to take a quick break, and let's resume this conversation in just a few minutes on WSAU Feedback.
Herself a merry little Christmas. Let your heart be light. From now on, our troubles will be out of sight.
Thank you for joining me on WSAU Feedback. The chairman of the board, Frank Sinatra. Have yourself a merry little Christmas. I'm joined this morning by Rick Essenberg, Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty Chief Counsel, and we are discussing the results of an investigation that his organization conducted on the 2020 presidential election. Rick, thanks for holding through during the break.
No problem.
So let's talk a little bit about, we only have 5 minutes at this point, and so I was kind of looking through your release that you put out last week and trying to find, the best points to focus on, I guess I'm going to leave that up to you about some of the things that you found that are concerning that you believe will lead to changes, and that this could be a bipartisan effort to make some changes to our elections in the future.
Well, so there was this money that was funneled into the state through this group called the Center for Civic and I can't remember exactly what the acronym is.
Zuckerberg.
CTCL. Yeah, right. CTCL. But this was basically funded by Mark Zuckerberg, and it's always sometimes referred to as Zuckbucks or Zuckerbucks. Mm-hmm. And what they did was they made a lot of grants to municipalities to run elections. We have a decentralized system in Wisconsin. Wausau runs its own elections. Milwaukee runs its own election. And they gave money. And they gave a lot of money. And at the time that this happened in the fall of 2020, they said, well, look, we're giving money to everyone. We're giving money to the big cities. We're giving money to the little rural areas. Well, you know, we did open records requests. We found out where that money went, and it went disproportionately is that have a heavily Democratic voter base. So it was disproportionately dispersed. Now, they'll say, well, they needed it more in Milwaukee than they did in Rimbaud, and I don't know why that's true. But the fact of the matter is it was disproportionate. Now, was it illegal? There have been some cases that have been filed challenging the legality of this. They have not been successful. It may not be in and of itself illegal, although you can imagine a set of facts that would accompany it that would make it illegal. But we can say that it raises really serious questions of fairness and propriety when, you know, particularly you had some reports in some municipalities of basically Democratic activists being embedded very deeply in with election officials. It simply doesn't look right. And we did a statistical analysis, and we found that the presence of these Zuck Bucks probably increased Democratic turnout in the state by about 8,000. And that's pretty significant when you think that the margin was 22,000. It's really over a third of the margin. Now, again, it doesn't mean that these were fraudulent votes. It doesn't mean that the people who voted, you know, weren't real eligible voters that voted for Joe Biden. But it does raise a question of fairness if we're going to have a system where private money comes in and facilitates the voting process in Milwaukee, but doesn't facilitate the voting process in Rib Mountain. And so we think that there should be some type of legislation passed which places restrictions on when this money can be accepted and what it's supposed to be used for. Because elections are, you know, you have to be, it's like a football game, right? You have to have rules that are in place beforehand, and you can't have the referees playing for one team. And so I think that that needs to be addressed going forward. I don't think it will be for 2022 because I think whatever the Republicans pass, the governor will veto and they won't be able to override. But it does need to be addressed in the long run.
So in our remaining couple of minutes, do you have Wisconsin Republican legislators contacting you to discuss these results? And are they committed to making some changes? Obviously, should Republicans prevail in 2022 in the gubernatorial race?
Yeah, I mean, I think that they're committed to making a number of changes along the lines that we proposed with respect to indefinitely confined voters and drop boxes and ballot harvesting and private funding and things like that. Maintenance of the voter rolls, which is something that we didn't talk about, that's done in a way that it should be. I think they are, but I think that the reality is that that Governor Evers will veto because it is, you know, it's a funny thing, you know, Meg, we never used to have, and I'm kind of an old guy, and I've been voting for a long time, and we never used to have, an early voting period. We never had substantial absentee voting. We never had drop boxes. We never had any of this stuff. And the Democrats now take the position that if you place a restriction on any of it in order to improve ballot security, that this is like Jim Crow. This mm-hmm. is like voter suppression. Mm-hmm. Well, that's absolutely crazy. But it's also what they say. And so although I think the Republican legislature would pass these reforms, and I think they will pass these reforms, I don't think the governor will sign them into law, and I don't think they'll have enough votes to override the veto. And so this would be, if we're going to reform these things, it's going to have to be reformed in 2023 if there is a Republican governor who will sign these measures into law.
Well, and, you know, that's the million-dollar question. I think that any listener who's asking right now is saying, well, how can we even be assured of, a valid election in the future if, you know, these Chicago-style voting tactics continue? And, you know, I think that's the piece.
Well, I, I think you have to be careful, though, because again, here's something that happened, and I know that, you know, some people who are, you know, perhaps bigger fans of Donald Trump than I am won't like to hear this, but I think Donald Trump really hurt the Republican Party in the Georgia runoff elections when, you know, he came out and said that the election won't be fair. I think he suppressed turnout, and I think in a very real sense, he cost the Republicans at probably both of those seats, if not at least one of them. And so, you know, I think one takeaway from this is that the election in 2020 looked a lot like the election in 2016. And we did some very sophisticated analysis, and the voting pattern was the same. And so what happened is Trump, the Republicans barely won in 2016, and they barely lost in 2020. And if they barely lost in 2020, they can win in 2022. And so if your listeners are Republican voters, they shouldn't despair of the prospect for winning the election. They just need to go out and work hard and try to win it, because it can be done.
Yeah, I agree. And you know, I think ultimately we can be heartened by the fact, I said this to you off air, that Democrats haven't completely mastered the art of stealing the election, because Virginia is a great example of that. So if they had, we wouldn't have seen the gubernatorial and lieutenant gubernatorial victories in Virginia. So, well, Rick, thank you. I'm over time, but it was worth it. I hope that you'll come back again. It seems like we don't have enough time ever to chat about all of the good things that your organization is doing. I appreciate it so much. Will-law.org is the website. And have a Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, too. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm going to jump right to the 8:30 news, followed by your calls on the second half of WSAU Feedback.